I want to welcome everybody to Infallible Health with Gina Gabellini and David DeFrancesco, and today is week 5, and today we're going to be talking about emotional creation.
Since we're talking about emotional creation and we're going to be talking about feelings and emotions and how they relate to your body, let's just start with checking in with where are you at emotionally? Health is a byproduct of everything that we're feeling, so we'll get clues to why we are in terms of our health and our bodies, or what's showing up or not showing up on our bodies because of where we're at emotionally. So let's just do a check-in with how you all are feeling emotionally right now.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, I'm the one with the cold. And I am starting to realize emotionally how I got it. But anyway, emotionally, I feel frustrated and overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. All right.
Because of the cold.
Oh, okay.
That's probably why I got the cold.
Okay. So could you say that you're resisting the cold?
Yes, definitely.
Oh. Okay. Would you like to just let it go?
Yes.
Okay. So when would you like to do that?
Immediately.
Okay. And so, well, I'm not asking you to fall in love with your cold, but I'll just allow it to be there and actually thank it for letting you know that you have been misaligned with your thinking about whatever created the cold, and that you'll take the clues that it gave you so that you can clean up your emotional state about whatever's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. So that you can allow the cold to fade away. And while it's still here working itself out, just letting it run its course so that it's not you having to manage it, but you've already decided that it's leaving and departing you. And thank you for making me alert to what's going on with me emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay. I don't need it anymore. And in the meantime, just be with it in a way where you're just taking good care of yourself and still focusing on things that bring you joy. And if you can't breathe or you're coughing for a little while, knowing that it's on its way out anyway. So this soon shall pass.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Yes. Who's next? What's one thing that's working well with you in your health?
I think one thing that was sort of a breakthrough this week with listening to Patricia Bish and reading that book as well was I really believe in mind-body healing. You know, you scare up your knee, you can watch it heal in like 5 minutes, and there's other areas of our body that heal. But I never really thought of this weight issue as a healing, of just allowing the body to heal with that. So that was like a big aha for me that, you know, our body has a strong desire just like to heal that scab or that cut, just has strong desire to be at its natural ideal weight, whatever that might be. So a big aha in just more allowing and trusting that my body knows what's right for her.
It's so good. As you all know, I had a baby last week, and you just heard him. It's amazing. They say, you know, babies heal so quick. And they were telling me this because my baby was in ICU when he came out because he had a little vacuum on his head. And I was thinking, you know, it's not that babies heal so quick. It's that he doesn't have any stuff in the way. He doesn't know any different, right? He just comes out of the chute with no preconceived notions. And, in fact, I put him on a couch, I think like the second day I was home, thinking babies aren't supposed to turn, right, for at least a couple months. Oh, he turned, and he turned right onto the floor. Now, I had a heart attack. And he wasn't even crying hardly. And my mom's like, Gina, she happened to be here. She goes, don't worry. I dropped you off a piece of furniture, a changing table on a hardwood floor. You were fine. So we don't know any different, right? It's the parent stuff. We go, oh, my God. And so I truly believe it's not babies that heal so quick. It's like we were just saying around, if you didn't know any different, your body would return to its natural state always of well-being. It can't help it. And then what happens for us is we make up all sorts of stories around it's hard, or we have to be careful, or what if it gets worse is usually a big one, whether it's weight or we have something else going on. It's like, well, what's the worst that can happen is usually the first place that we go versus, okay, great, now that this has happened, now I'm going to return back to its natural cycle, which is well-being.
And the next point with that, with me, just with the word healing, when I know somebody needs to heal, or I'm automatically kinder and more compassionate to that person. And it's like, oh, I'm not always that way to me.
So how have you been since this little discovery with yourself?
I've been in more of a state of delight and wonder and just discovery.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's been great.
That's so good. You guys, this is all that, you know, we'll say this a million times, but this is the same stuff that you would do with anything that you want. If you would all just right now, you don't even have to focus on well-being for future or focus on, okay, I want to be this certain weight. If you would just be okay with where you're at and stop resisting where you're at and make it okay, knowing that you are in transition towards well-being, then you would go to well-being. So it's like you don't even have to be locked on to exactly what you want. I know I had a client this morning who said, okay, on our next coaching call, all I want to work on is getting consistently in the place of where I want to be with money in my business because I know I go back and forth. And she was just really being hard on herself about having to be 100% on believing what she wants all the time or she didn't think she would get it. And that's not true. If you just did it half the time, you'd be fine. But more than that is to just be okay with where you're at. And that's why it's so important as we go through this course to really, I would personally, if I were all of you, be writing down what you are gracious about or appreciative about around your body because there's so much more going right than there is going wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll get off my soapbox. Who's next?
I have been really eating better and or in a more healthy manner, I guess. But I looked at what I was eating the other day, and it just occurred to me that I'm really enjoying it now. Where before having the, you know, the protein and the fruit and the vegetable and trying to be well balanced wasn't something I wanted. I was more into the cream sauces and the sugars and the sweets and the starches. And now that's not really what I want, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing with just eating lighter.
Well, how did you do that transformation?
I decided at one point when I was in the grocery store that I was just going to, you know, buy what I think my body wanted and what would be good for it and to take better care of my body and to respect it. And so I came home with all of the fresh fruits and vegetables and decided, well, you know, I'll have a little bit of meat and a little bit of vegetable and a little bit of fruit, and that should be it. And then over time, it's just become a habit now.
Isn't it interesting when you give yourself permission, you'll just naturally gravitate towards the ideal foods? Cool.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Last week when I was on another call with, I'm not sure if you were there, Gina and Eva, and one of you mentioned about at just instead of, oh, how am I going to do this, instead of putting that out to the universe saying, how easy can this, show me how easy this can be. Show me how much fun. So I've been really working on that as a mantra in my head when I start thinking about problem solving, et cetera. I just say, show me how much fun this can be. Show me how easy it can be to feel satisfied eating right, to find foods that I love and feel good about and my, you know, that make me healthier, et cetera. And it really, when I start thinking like that, it really changes my whole outlook about everything. I feel so much better. It's fascinating.
That's good. Has anybody else played that game? Like, look for the evidence. Show me, body, what you can do. Like, bring it on. It's kind of like, you know, if you've ever heard someone talking, let's say, about a sport. Oh, yeah, you know, I can do that so good. It's like, okay, prove it. Show me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go out and they'll show you. So has anybody played that game with their body?
No, not yet. No.
You could have some fun, but the only trick would be is that you would have to really be unattached. I would start with something that's not critical, not one of your hot topics for this course, not one of your, you know, specific goals. Start with something little, like something that, you know, maybe it's been around for a long time and not a big deal. A few weeks ago, I've had it for a while, just a little skin tag right inside my belly button. Mm-hmm. And I could live with that. It's nothing major, but I kept thinking, oh, I should go get that burned off. Well, because of my state of health and my belly, the way it was looking, there was no belly button anymore. And I said, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put a little bit of oregano essential oil on it. Let's just see what happens. Well, what's funny, I put it on one day, and then my friends came over and they did a body cast of my belly for when it was pregnant. And when they pulled it off, they pulled the skin back off, too, because, you know, everything stuck to my stomach. I'm sure most of my hair on my stomach went, too. But what was interesting, I wasn't attached, and I think I'd used oregano on it before. Nothing really happened. So you can play the game, just like we were talking about earlier, around if you stare at a body part, you could regenerate something in 5 minutes or heal something in 5 minutes. What if you just played the game? What if? You do have to be light about it, so start with something that's insignificant, and I would love to hear what happens for each of you if you pick something now and just play with it over the next week. See what shows up. And you're not a failure if nothing does happen, because it's just an experiment. Who's next?
I feel fabulous. I feel happy. I feel vibrant, yet I have got so many body things going on, it's just gone insane.
Okay, so what do you think that they're giving you clues to?
To slow down.
Mm.
Possibly.
If you were slowed down, because I know you've talked about slowing down before, if you were slowing down, what would you be spending your time doing? And I'm guessing it's slowing down from work. Is that what you're slowing down from?
I've got no idea, because I feel like I've slowed down. Yeah, like if I was to slow down, I would go and do more dancing, like Argentine tango and some, like, fun sensual dancing. Yeah, it'd be creative things, like maybe even singing or painting or things like that.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I was getting that. I know you've actually slowed down with a lot, and
yeah.
So maybe the slowing down actually just needs to happen in the way that you're relating to life in your head, not what you're doing externally.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, like slowing down internally, like as if you probably have some mental checklist that you're always running off of. You know, I want to do that. I got to get that done. And so there's a slight pushing energy that's always happening, even though you slowed down externally, like you slowed down with work. You live in a house now where, you know, it's beautiful and you take time out to do your morning rituals and things like this. So the appearance on the outside is that you are slowed down.
Yes.
And yet you're not feeling that.
No. And I guess I'm resisting slowing down because I don't want to slow down. I'm a vibrant being, and I love to be out fully enjoying life to the max.
So it's like an aversion to what you say you really want.
Yeah, it's like inner being saying that, but you know, the other part of me is like, no, I want to, you know, to me it's just I want to be out. I guess I'm mixing up maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, that slowing down means you're doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And slowing down is just really being present in each moment so that you can enjoy whatever you're doing, so that if you're sitting down out on your back deck, you're just fully into it and in the appreciation. And if you're meeting someone for lunch or a dinner date, that you're fully present, and that when you set a date to go do dancing, that you're just fully present.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's reframing what slowing down means to me.
Hmm. So what do you want it to mean?
Exactly, like you hit it right on the head, like being fully present in each moment to whatever it is I'm just doing or being, or, yeah, it's like being fully present is what slowing down is giving me, or the message.
Hmm. Okay, good. So actually, I'm just inspired to do this because we're actually going to talk about emotional creation, and we're talking about chemistry of food, right, David, today?
Yes, we are.
So I just thought, since you're talking about being in the moment, I have something down that we're going to do a meditation at the end, but it seems appropriate now, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the other stuff, but this will set you up. Now, this is a meditation about savoring your food. It's perfect because to savor your food, right, you have to be present.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes in the morning I'm so hungry and ravenous by the time I go downstairs, and my mate always, you know, he loves his oatmeal in the morning, so I'm cooking his oatmeal and thinking, I can't wait till this oatmeal's done. I'm making myself some toast, and I'm standing up eating it and cooking, and I'll catch myself doing that. I'll say, put it down. You're not even tasting it because you're so focused on doing tasks. You're not even enjoying your toast. And I'll catch myself, and I'll put it down. And then when I sit down, I just like to be with the food. And it's exactly what we want to be doing all the time, not just with food. Because if we're present, every single thing that we've talked about in this class so far and everything we're going to talk about, to get full maximum benefit, you have to be present. Otherwise, you can't hear the feedback that your body's giving you, or that your intuition's guiding you towards certain foods or towards body movements that feel good. We can't hear any of that if we're just noisy in our brains. So, just for a moment, this will be a short, and I actually got this out of Spirituality and Health magazine, and I just thought it was so perfect for this class. So just get comfortable in your seats, comfortable as you can, and close your eyes. And take a nice deep breath in through your nose. In and out. And pay attention to your breath. And as you breathe easily, fill up your stomach, your ribs, your sternum. And as you breathe out, feel the breath coming up first from your chest, then your ribs, and then your stomach. And now I want you to call to mind one of your favorite fruits, vegetables, or fresh herbs. Just picture it in your mind and keep breathing in and out. And begin to develop the image of this food in your mind. And take the image of your food and place it in your hands. Feel its weight as you hold it in front of you. Is it heavy? Is it light? Does it barely fill your palm? Or is your hand almost pushed down to the floor under its weight? As you imagine holding it, picture your fingers of one hand running across the surface of this fruit or vegetable or herb. Does it have soft skin, a hard rind? Is it leafy? Is it silky, hard, smooth, bumpy, fuzzy? Just spend a moment touching its surface. And as you touch its stem, think about how it grows. Think about its life before you. Did it grow on the ground, on a tree, perhaps on a bush? Just picture how it grew. And as you look at it, drink in its color. Is it deep in color? Is it pastel? Maybe it's the color of a monk's orange robe or sunset pink or morning light yellow. Now picture yourself peeling it or cutting into it or tearing a leaf off of it and drinking its smell. As you breathe in, imagine that you're smelling your food. Think about its fragrance. Is it strong or subtle, sweet or spicy? Think about how you most love to eat it. If you'd eat this raw, bring it closer to your mouth. If you'd cook it, shift your image of it until it's the shape, color, and texture of your food cooked as you most love it. Now imagine taking a bite of it. Picture that first bite. Is it juicy, crunchy? Does it melt in your mouth? As it lands on your tongue, savor its texture and its scent as it changes when your taste buds, not just your nose, get involved. Let the flavor sink into your mouth. Picture yourself chewing enjoy meditating on the taste as it changes in your mouth. Imagine swallowing. Feel your food as it moves down the back of your mouth, down your throat. Continue breathing in and out. Sit and feel the food become a part of you. Continue taking nice deep breaths in and out. And slowly, whenever you're ready, open your eyes. And come back to the call. So did that help with getting you all present and in the moment?
It did.
Good. And talk about savoring. I haven't eaten a mango since last summer, and I bought a mango at the store the other day. And one of my favorite ways to eat mangoes is chop up a half a mango and put it in with cottage cheese. The combination just throws me over the edge. It's like as good as eating cheesecake. And when I was eating it this morning, it was gorgeous. I was just so enjoying it, every moment of it. And I thought, wow, this is spectacular. And part of it was noticing the texture and the color. And so it was definitely a euphoric experience for me. And I think that any time that we're involving food or our body or our senses, if we can slow down enough, we can not only tune in to the signals that our body is giving us, but extract such extreme joy savoring every single thing you do. Because I know you are so appreciative of whatever you're doing. Everything can be that orgasmic experience, even if it's just sitting down on the deck for 5 minutes before you go exercise or do whatever you're going to do. All right, David, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Well, thank you, Gina. That was really a neat meditation.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I wanted to kind of ask everybody for a quick second before we go into the rest of this call, because it kind of reinforces some of the things that we've talked about previously. When you were present and when you were imagining the food in the meditation that Gina just guided us through, did you notice some physical changes in your body? Did you notice that you were starting to salivate? Did you notice some other physical manifestations of reacting to the thought and the process of this ideal food that you didn't actually physically have in your hands but were imagining in your mind? And I'm willing to bet you that all of you were. Goes to the point of what we've been discussing in these past few weeks, the power of the mind to create physical and physiological changes in your bodies, and why it is a partner in the process of finding your ideal health and your ideal body. One of the things is, I mean, this is a perfect example of how you react to your beliefs and your thoughts. Going into a little bit of what we were going to talk about today further, taking that, one of the biggest issues that we deal with in today's society is stress. And one of the factors in the way we look and the way we feel has in large part to do with physiologically how we react to a stress environment. When we are experiencing stress, our blood glucose levels skyrocket. And when they shoot up like that, your pancreas releases insulin to bring your blood sugar levels back down. As your blood sugar level drops from those high levels, it can cause you to feel irritable, fatigued, stressed, and physiological response is your body, once blood sugar levels get too low, is to trigger a response of hunger and a desire for carbohydrates and sugars. So a lot of times, this is why people, when they are feeling stressed, feel more attracted to, almost intuitively, to more sugar-based foods, high-carb, high-starch type foods, because it's basically your body reacting to what is now a low blood sugar level, because the pancreas, because of the stress, your pancreas has released so much insulin that your blood sugar levels have tanked. So it basically creates a loop, almost a sugar stress cycle, where you're experiencing stress, your blood sugar levels shoot up, your body releases insulin to bring your blood sugar levels back down, just like it would under any normal circumstances. You are attracted to, via hunger, to eat, sometimes overeat, stress, emphasis toward foods like sugars and carbs, which alone now bring your blood sugar levels up, your insulin releases again, and basically creates a feedback loop over and over and over again. And in situations or lifestyles where we're constantly under stress, is it basically reinforces itself, and the pancreas actually gets locked into an environment where it almost overproduces insulin, to where you are creating a cycle, regardless of how you're eating, that can create an environment that can bring type 2 diabetes and other aspects of health issues into your life. One other issue with regards to the sugar stress cycle to keep in mind, your brain is conditioned to respond to something that is sweet, natural or not. This response is called a cephalic phase response. And basically, your body is going to react as if you ate a natural sugar when even eating anything that is artificially sweetened, aspartame, saccharin, these types of things, even though these have been labeled as safe sugars or safe sweets, in actuality, your body is still going to react to them as if you're eating a natural sugar product. So even though you do not have the physiological response of increased blood sugar levels, your pancreas is going to release insulin as if you did. And again, it's going to create a structure where you're creating a feedback loop that's increasing incidences of fatigue and overeating and cravings for carbs and sugars. And it's a cycle that bears itself directly to stress and our response to stress. And it goes to what Gina was just guiding us through with regards to the meditation, and the main purpose of which is to remain present in the moment. Most stress comes from our projection forward into what-if scenarios, or remembering back to previous stressful situations and a past review sort of thing. In the current moment, unless you're being chased by a lion or something that is physically right there and then, rarely are we actually in an immediate stress situation without having to project forwards or to remember backwards. So one of the critical issues in dealing with stress and your body's response to stress is to remain present in the moment. Gina, your thoughts?
I think, again, it's like our body's always giving us signals, whether we have a cold or something more serious or just feeling a lack of energy. Our body's always giving us feedback on how we're feeling. So if you notice that you're continually reaching for sugar, that's also an indicator. So I notice I keep grabbing for sugar because, yes, it feels good, but get curious about why. Because naturally, if we were really tapped into our inner being, most likely we'd still have our favorite foods, but we'd be reaching for a variety of foods depending on what we needed at that moment. And so if you're constantly reaching for sugar, that means you've missed some clues along the way. It's like having a cold. It's like, oh, so what do I have to learn from what I'm reaching for? Do I have any background stress going on? Because sometimes the stress that happens isn't apparent. It's apparent, obviously, when we have a money crisis or a family crisis or a health crisis, we go, oh, I better listen up. But sometimes there's that background level of tension. It's not going to stop us, but it prevents us from being completely at ease. And I think a lot of times that is when people turn to sugar and they're reaching for carbs for comfort, and they may not even be aware of it.
Do you find it's an emotional reaction to seek comfort when feeling fear?
Yeah, it's like, oh, this will ground me, or I have a moment of relief from the tension. And then you find that it's not enough. You know, you need to keep going back for more. If that's the first thing you want to consistently reach for, or you're finding it more than usual, I would put money on the fact that there's some background stress going on. Let me stop and think for a minute. It's not that sugar's bad, it's just giving you a clue.
I would agree with that, because yesterday, that's all I did was eat sugar and carbs. And I felt I needed to do it. And I know there was background stress going on, and that it just overwhelmed me, this need to just reach into that cookie jar again and again and again. And while I was doing it, I was just thinking, what am I doing? What am I resisting? What's going on? Oh, who cares? I just need to eat this.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, it just overtook me. And then today all I've had is a poached egg. I don't want the sugar. I don't know what happened. It was very strange.
Well, let me ask you, do you feel that background stress today?
No, I don't, and here's why. Because my body forced me to sleep until about 12 o'clock noon. And so I don't have any stress right now at all because I'm just not – there's nothing – I'm not thinking about anything or doing anything all day.
Okay. And that feeling, I think this leads right into the next topic that David's going to address about the chemistry of emotional addiction. But that feeling, David, because I know I've been there. When I was really in the throes of, you know, like, I got to eat food, I'm addicted to food, it was that feeling like, I don't care. It's like grabbing for, you know, another glass of alcohol when someone's already telling you, hey, don't you think you should cool it? You know, you seem in a little buzz right now. You go, no, I don't care. You drink another, and it takes you over the edge. And it's that same feeling that people get around food, and I'll watch it. In fact, I know from supporting my mate, you know, he's doing his best to lower his cholesterol, and he's asked for my support. And the other day, he's like, I don't care. I'm stopping right now at fast food. I can't wait. And I said, okay, well, you can still make good choices, you know. And he gets up to the window, and he says, I'll order a hamburger, a chocolate frosty. Gina, you want some fries? And I said, well, I guess you're starting the cholesterol diet tomorrow. Because he didn't care because he was under stress.
Right.
And so it's like, don't care anymore. Let's just reach for what's going to make me feel better.
That's exactly right. And it's not a negative reaction. It's very understandable. I mean, it's very uncomfortable and really physically disabling when we're in these stress environments. I mean, it's a natural inclination to want to feel better. The issue then is, or the challenge then is what is it that makes us feel better? And it goes back to what we have generally relied on in the past. We've talked about in previous weeks about how repetitive actions and repetitive thoughts reinforces itself basically through neural pathways strengthening themselves over time in your brain, causing you more often than not to reinforce old habits, positive or not, in light of the fact that it's far easier for you to function in certain ways that have been based on previous performance. Now, with regards to emotional addiction and what we've been talking about thus far, I think we can recognize a lot of times, in cases especially with regards to stress, but in other times too, there are certain foods that we fall back on when we are in the midst of certain emotions. There are certain foods that we use to reward ourselves when we're feeling great. There are certain foods that we fall back on when we're feeling sad. There's foods that we fall back on when we're feeling stressed. Sometimes they're all the same. But the fact is that more often than not, the foods that we eat are based on our emotional states at the time. And those emotional states have been reinforced based by habit. And a lot of the habits are based on fats and sugars, which chemically create basically a situation in your body chemically that you need. When I talked before about your body's response to stress, your blood sugar level drops. There is everything in your body that screams for the blood sugar level to get back up again. And the quickest way to do so is through carbs and sugars. The question then becomes, is not so much fighting against that inclination, but choosing which carbs and which sugars you are going to choose. An example of a sugar or a carb would be a candy bar or a piece of fruit. Some you're going to feel more inclined to based on emotions. There are just some foods that feel more soothing, more comfortable, more you feel much better with when eating. Again, that just goes to habits. And one of the challenges, and we've talked about this before, of creating habits that you feel better with is to allow yourself the time to first be understanding and present in the moment to observe what's occurring. What we're not recommending here is that you fight against your body's natural responses, but instead use those body's natural responses to guide yourself toward better choices. So it's not so much trying to fight against the inclination toward fats or sugars that we're trying to encourage you to do, but instead recognize that there are other ways to address those feelings that are probably going to actually feel better in the long term, but you may not be quite there just yet. One of the best ways of addressing stress is through exercise and the body's physiological and chemical response to exercise. Your body is going to react with increased blood sugar levels just as easily from a candy bar or a piece of chocolate as it is a piece of fruit, probably better. And it's understanding the choices that you're making, and again, stay in the moment and start thinking about really not so much fighting against yourself, but kind of partnering with these emotions and responses that you're having and making more better feeling choices.
So, David, when you talk about reaching for different choices, how are you going to know in that moment, you know, she's talking about, hey, I was going to grab that thing I wanted and I didn't care. So if she knows another choice might serve her better, mm-hmm. mentally, but she doesn't have access to intuitively choose because she's so stressed out and she doesn't want to take the time, or if she can't, her mind's so busy she can't hear what would be a better choice. Is, you know, if she wasn't going to grab for sugar, would it just be going for a more complex carb, or what would she reach for if she can't access that intuitively because she's stressed out?
Right. The hope is that you would choose a higher energy level food. So recognize a little bit of chemically what foods serve in these roles. One way of putting this is recognize that chocolate or fruit or even a higher carb is going to function and is going to work. But that point that you just alluded to, both your partner, you mentioned Gina, and the call here, people get to the point where, I just don't care. I'm going to have it anyway. Lack of a better way of putting it, that's a decision point. That's the point where you have the option of making a different choice. Now, it's not going to, as I mentioned, in the early stages, be something that you may be able to do successfully 100% of the time. But that's the point I would encourage people to just kind of stop, pause, and think about an option. Even just the pause itself will start to loosen the bonds of the emotional addiction to that particular food or that particular type of food. It's just the knee-jerk, immediacy, almost without thinking grab that reinforces the old patterns.
So what would someone grab rather than fruit or sugar? What's going to be a higher energy food for them at that moment, especially when they're stressed?
Right. In the case of stress, one of the first things, as far as food goes, I would recommend would be a fruit, perhaps even a glass of juice. Something that is going to be more of a simple carb that's going to be easily assimilated and is just at a higher level than, let's say, chocolate or something fat-based. It's funny, women will tend toward a sugar-based food when under stress. Men will tend toward a fat-based food. And it's kind of recognizing that food recommendations don't just necessarily follow the same for everybody. Ideally, one of the best choices is, in reality, physically move, walk, do something. It doesn't have to be a workout per se, but even just don't eat. Don't reinforce the stress eating to begin with. In other words, try to move yourself out of the environment that is setting up for the choice to begin with.
Yes, and just because I know some of you may have gremlins, you're dealing with your little food gremlin at that moment when you're ready to grab for the sugar, and you're like, wait a minute, hold on, let me take a breath. Is there another choice I can make? It's not because you're actually wanting to take away something from yourself. It's not like we're not looking at it as a diet. It's not going to really serve you anyway. It's not going to bring you to that higher place of connection, either emotionally or physically. by reaching for the old standby, that doesn't, it just doesn't work. So if you're really wanting to feel better, you're really wanting to make a different choice. So it's not about taking away. It's like, no, we want to give you more. This is really going to satisfy you on a couple of different levels. And then you won't have any guilt afterwards either. If you're somebody who beats up on yourself after you eat something and you feel bad about it, oh, I can't believe I ate all that sugar. Shame on me.
I mean, one of the things that I do is I literally have with me or at my home what I call like a little stress food. I mean, I literally have set aside a little, my little go-to spot that I know that I can go to and be okay with enjoying. Like for me, now this may not be something that you all feel comfortable with, but for me, I use minced Altoids, just a couple mints for me. Gives me that feeling of sweet, gives me the level of comfort that I feel when I'm stressed. The other thing that I've done over time is I just kind of go for a walk. First of all, it just makes me kind of feel like I'm getting away from the stressful situation to begin with. And it just from a chemical hormonal issue as far as your the benefits of exercise, it just really helps in addressing the situations of stress.
David, you get stressed.
Oh.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah. I do.
So
but,
is there any more about emotional addiction? I'm not there anymore, mm-hmm. but it, when in the moment, it sort of would have been nice to have mm-hmm. this information when I was completely addicted to food. And, of course, from a law of attraction standpoint, the more I told myself not to be or don't eat or stop eating, the more I would eat. And it was so hard to break that cycle, mm-hmm. and it was totally emotional.
We have sort of certain foods that we always fall back on. The funny thing is our body knows that. So even when we eat these foods in different emotional states, we register, we kind of recognize the fact, oh, this is chocolate. Gee, I must be sad. And you literally create the emotion, whether it was there 2 seconds before or not, you actually start feeling yourself feeling sad. I mean, you basically have created this trigger point that works both ways. You've created a reaction to a particular food that addresses a certain feeling. And when you eat that food, you just feel an inclination to go to that particular feeling again. So there's this very interesting cycle of really, it's basically an addiction to an emotion. It literally becomes something that we become addicted to needing to feel. Whether it's a productive emotion or not, we become addicted to feeling specific emotions.
Gina brought up the idea about remaining neutral, remaining in observance of that which you wish to change. Now, let's touch on that for a moment, because there's both a role for emotions in creating, and sometimes they can also fall into a spiral of guilt and shame, where we use them to beat ourselves up and to put ourselves in judgment of previous choices. Okay. Gina, I'm going to turn this to you for a second. With regards to maintaining a neutral emotion, neutral stance, and observation.
Okay.
What do you?
Going to give you all a room. I'm going to give you a great example too for those of you who think you can't help it. I know you're on this class to change things, but you won't. You know, sometimes you can't help but slide back into old patterns. So part of what's going to be important is when you do slide back into something that you don't like or you feel bad about or it's not what you wanted, is to come back to that place where you just make it right. You just make it okay. Like you didn't screw up. It's not shame on you. Whether it's I didn't take my medication, I didn't exercise, I didn't eat what I said I was going to eat, I was totally disconnected when I ate every single time this week. It doesn't matter. You got to make a choice and make it right. And I'll give you an example. I noticed that when I was probably in the last trimester, I started getting more stressed. Time was, running forward, and I noticed old patterns that I haven't done in years. I was just eating to take breaks. And I didn't like that because I was eating when I wasn't hungry, and what would end up happening was I was really full. But I did notice it, and I thought, oh, I'm doing that old thing again. Now, I know before what I did is I tried to control that. That's how I tried to change it last time, was to control it
and manipulate and tell myself what I should do. So I didn't do that this time. I just made it okay. And I said, okay, so I'm noticing that I'm stressed, and I'm noticing that I'm overeating and it's hurting my belly, you know, sometimes to the point where if you've ever eaten, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner and you've eaten too much and you say you're full and then they bring out dessert and there's three different kinds of desserts and you still say, well, I'll just take a small slice of each of them. And you think, why did I do that? I just said I was really full. But it's in that moment, if you're going to choose to do it or you've done it and then you become conscious, then make it okay. Because you don't want to do that double whammy on yourself where you're already feeling disconnected, so you make a choice, and then you make yourself wrong for it. And that's what you're talking about before, being kind to yourself. It's like, how awful is that? It's like constantly getting on a kid. You know, you've seen parents do that. You may have even done it yourself where, you know, clean up your room. And then like, oh, I'll get to it, Mom. Clean it up. And you just keep going, going, going. And all it does is create more resistance. So you just really want to make it okay, because as soon as you make it okay, guess what's going to happen faster? You're going to get back into alignment. And it doesn't need to affect you. Because remember, all these things you're doing, eating, exercising, choices that you make, these are actions. These are not vibration. These are actions that you take because you think it will serve you. So what if you just made everything right and decided that each thing that you chose served you? I mean, that's a whole different concept.
You know, Gina, it's funny that
so
you brought up...
Do you want me to say more about that?
I did, because you brought up a subject with regards to stress and the reaction that you had with regards to stress. And from a scientific standpoint, I wanted to mention in this what goes on in your bodies when you're stressed. And this doesn't need to be just physical stress. This is also emotional stress. Two things start to increase in your body, both adrenaline and cortisol. Now, cortisol is the primary stress hormone. Its role is to increase your blood sugar levels and your glucose levels. It does this by increasing your appetite, increasing cravings for carbohydrates, and also acts as a sedative and can enhance feelings of depression. Now, if that is an emotional state, where you tend to overeat or tend to seek comfort, it's no wonder that when you're under stress and stressful emotions and stressful situations, that our go-to is quite commonly eating, if not even overeating. One of the challenges then is if you find yourself in the habit of trying, you know, what we were just talking, what Gina was just talking about, maintaining a state where you're not blaming yourself, perhaps it might also help to think about maybe shifting into ways that you feel good about dealing with the stress in your life. If that kind of takes it to a different level that helps you kind of remove. Go ahead.
You know, how do you shift into, you know, other things that, you know, take you out of stress? What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that I think we tend to do, and we were just talking about this, is we tend to take things personally. We tend to judge ourselves when we find our actions are not in line with what we wish to create. And we find ourselves in this emotional loop that it is challenging to break ourselves out of and reinforces old patterns and old behaviors, themselves being habits that we have created. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the chemistry of addiction, which is basically what we're doing with our emotions. But if it's challenging for you in the first steps here to kind of not, if you find yourself still falling into patterns of blaming yourself for your actions and still a little bit of a challenge to maintain a neutral emotional state, instead of looking at it from a personal standpoint, look at your environment. Look at the situations, perhaps, that are creating your feelings of stress. And perhaps direct your attention and your focus on those areas so that you can lessen the actual sources of stress and, of course, then your feelings of stress and then, of course, the reactions that you're having to the stress with the increased cortisol.
I think someone had a question.
Here tends to be my cycle, which I think is very common, is that, you know, I feel stressed, different things, about different things, and then so eat and then feel upset about having eaten too much or whatever, and then eat more and then feel more stressed about it, and, you know, kind of that cycle. And I found like the last few days I've been off sugar and just been eating healthier, which I feel a lot better when I do that health-wise. My body does. But I'm feeling emotional right now because I just feel much more emotional mm-hmm. at the same time. So it's this really kind of frustrating thing in a way. And I've been doing things like taking yoga classes and walks, and that helps a lot. And it's just still this is my life, mm-hmm. sort of one of my big life things, you know. So anyway.
When you say you feel more emotional, do you mean since you've changed your diet, or you just feel emotional in general right now?
Since changing my diet.
Because since you're not numbing yourself, is that what that means?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, since I'm not using, the food, which is my thing that stuffs my feelings, you know.
No more heroin down the throat.
Exactly. Like you talked about, on Thanksgiving, it's like, you mean on Sunday night, you know, when
right.
when you eat too much, you know, it's like, yeah.
So what do you want to do with your emotions? Since you can't numb them, how do you want to deal with it?
I want to feel them, and at the same time.
I told Audrey I had a clown.
I want to feel them, but I also want to. I don't want them to be running me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So if you don't want them to run you, mm-hmm. the best thing you can do and the fastest way through it is to just experience them and make space for that. So instead of judging them and going, oh my gosh, I'm such a mess, or whatever you say to yourself, or I don't want to feel this way. Mm-hmm. Why not be with it? In fact, I would just sit down and create space, meaning take 5-10 minutes out and ask yourself, what am I feeling? Okay? What am I feeling? All right, I'm feeling, name something that you think you're feeling when the emotions come up.
Anger and self-pity.
Okay. So why do you feel angry?
I'm angry at my family. I feel like I'm kind of a black sheep and can't get that turned around.
Okay. So then the next step would be okay with being angry and have it be okay that it's not turned around. You gotta make it all okay. Because by the way, folks, whatever you're judging yourself around health, guarantee it's not stemming from your health. It's somewhere else too, just like we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So would it be okay to just know that even this with your family is in transition, but for right now, this is where it's at. And you may not be the black sheep, you may be the black sheep, but for right now, this is just where it's at, and it's not where you want it. And can that be okay?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it has to be, or else I'll be stuck forever just using, food. I'm just so tired of doing that, of hurting myself like that.
So here's my request. Make whatever emotion that you're experiencing and the cause behind it, it's good to identify it because then you're saying, okay, now I know where it's coming from. And let me make that okay too. You don't have to do anything about it. In fact, that is your specific homework this week. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fix anything. You don't have to fix your eating. You don't have to do it better. You don't have to fix any of the emotional stuff. You just get to be right and okay with wherever you're at. So you're just going to be constantly soothing. I mean, can you imagine? That's just full permission just to be where you're at. Mm-hmm. Like Byron Katie says, wherever you're at is where you need to be. How do you know? Because that's where you're at.
Yeah. Catch 22.
Mm-hmm. But see, you're making it a catch 22 mm-hmm. by judging that it's bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of what all of you do around whatever health condition. You make yourself wrong about it. Mm-hmm. Stop making yourselves wrong. Make it okay. Because what will happen, I promise you, even if it takes a month, and a month's nothing because most of you have been dealing with the same issues for a long time. So a month, mm-hmm. piece of cake. In a month's time, if you just consistently stopped resisting where you're at, whether it was emotional or just frustrated about the health issue itself, it's not moving or shifting, you will start seeing results. I promise you something will change, mm-hmm. and it will be for the better, and it will be significant. Mm-hmm. do it for a month, just a month. Because like David said, when you are stressed or feeling bad, you are creating so many triggers firing off in your body, which just intensifies it. So you have that going on. And then law of attraction says, wherever you focus, to get more of. So when you get frustrated, you go, oh, I did it again. Mm-hmm. Law of attraction can't help it serving you up it again. Those cravings, the same self-sabotaging thoughts. Like, wait a minute. I didn't want to be here. Well, good. Then get your attention off of it, because if you don't, you're just going to get more of it. So just make it okay. You don't even have to think positive thoughts.
You know, that brings up a point. I wanted to send this out to everybody. Are you okay with feeling any emotion? I mean, all emotions. Do you tend to label emotions as good and bad? Strive to not feel anger, not feel sadness, not feel fear, as those are invalid. Those are not like feelings you're supposed to have. When in reality, feelings are just feelings. They're there for a reason. And I think in our struggles and efforts to kind of mask them or run away from them or not be with them, as we were just talking about, and being okay with just being with them, I think we accidentally reinforce them because that is where our attention is and that's what we're fighting against. Do you find that you're uncomfortable with being with, lack of a better way of putting it, uncomfortable emotions, uncomfortable feelings?
Of course, that's why they're called uncomfortable. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, David, I think there's been, you know, some training in, you know, change your state, change your emotion, stuff like that, to the point that I know with myself as well. I've been trying to pay attention to my feelings when I eat, and it's like, well, I don't even know what I'm feeling. So try and discover that a little bit more. But phrase keeps coming up that my brother says all the time, that everything works out in the end. And if it's not worked out, it's not the end yet. Mm-hmm. And then I think with this, some foods, I can't say I'm doing all the healthy choices or no sugar, but some foods don't have as much of a hold on me as they did. I love pizza. Pizza in the Chicago area is just really, really good. And I love pizza, but it, you know, it's just like I'm a lot more neutral to it now. Where, you know, I did have some, but it's just like, a piece or so, or I didn't have to go buy someone, make sure I had some in the freezer. And then I have fudge that I make for friends, for gifts and things, that I still have some in the freezer. And it's like, I know it's there. And instead of going for the fudge, I cleaned my freezer out. Because I had stuff from like a year ago that it's like, if I haven't eaten it yet, I'm not going to. And I thought, hey, this is, I guess I realized I didn't open the freezer because I was hungry. I opened the freezer because boredom or something else, or, you know, and I really wasn't hungry, so I filled up a garbage bag full of stuff to just throw out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been talking here about the feelings and emotions, and one of the aspects that Gina and I wanted to talk with you about is there's two aspects that we were dealing with here, both in the up-to-date, the tie-ins that we've made with specific emotions to specific foods, and then the overall concept of way we've attached emotions, and because of their repeated feelings of them and experience of them, we have literally created a dependency, an addiction. There are certain emotions that over the course of our lives that we have repeatedly felt, and as we talked about in the early stages of this, I think in the first couple classes, about how we can create physical habits, and through the repetitive nature of the physical motion, we actually hardwire our brains to be able to make those actions more efficient in the future. We do the same with our emotions. As you feel an emotion, your body releases, your brain releases certain chemicals. Those chemicals, as we've talked about, create certain issues with regards to your body, how your body reacts to food, how your body reacts to physical exercise, just how you even feel. As you repeat that behavior, as you repeat those emotions, the wiring of that becomes more efficient, just like learning how to walk. Each time that you feel the emotion, it reinforces itself, and it builds neural pathways, again, just so that your body can feel the emotion again. Now, unfortunately, your body doesn't necessarily differentiate between what is a good feeling and what is an uncomfortable feeling. All it knows is that this is something that has happened repeatedly, and it's going to create processes to make it more efficient and makes it easier for you to feel it again. That's why especially the challenges that a lot of people face in changing behaviors and emotions around food are probably the strongest and most challenging to change. It can be done. But have patience with yourself. Give yourself.
Kidding. I mean, based on that information alone, you all should cut yourself a break. I mean, it's almost like you're set up to be a little challenged when it's going downhill. So give yourself a break so that you can course correct. I mean, you got both law of attraction and how the body's working. They're both, you're geared to go where you've been going. I mean, that's just the way it's designed. And that's a great thing because when things are going good, we want them to continue doing, going good. So in the transition, that's why you have to be extra kind because it may take longer than you think. Sometimes you can make that decision. You know, I think I talked about in this class before via email that my dad made a choice, I'm just going to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. And he stopped drinking. It was just a moment in time. But sometimes it's not that easy. You're not at that state where it's like enough is enough. You know, you're frustrated, but you're not at, that's it. You know, I'm going to put on my red cowboy boots and kick some butt on this. You're not there. So if you're not there, you got to be, you really got to be kind to yourself because that's the only way it's going to work. So, David, where should we go next?
Well, I wanted to touch on very quickly the aspects of certain foods and certain emotions. But I think everyone on this call has certain go-to foods that we use when we feel certain emotions or we use to hide behind or make ourselves comfortable. And just as we were talking about emotions creating a chemistry that creates reinforcement for repeatedly feeling those emotions, the same thing happens with specific foods. Again, through repeated use and then, of course, the tie-in to the emotions themselves, we're really reinforcing a feedback loop. You're thinking a thought. Your body is creating a chemistry that is causing a reaction in your body. Your body then sends signals back to the brain saying, okay, we need you to continue this so we can continue the physical action. It's not just the feeling leading to the food. It's the food leading back to the feeling. And it's literally a loop that you are creating here. So you may think a thought and go to that pizza or whatever it is, your go-to food. But even as you're making changes here, be aware that in perhaps in the early stages of this, even though you're making some progress, when you go to eat that food, even if you're in a better emotional state, don't be too surprised if all of a sudden once you've eaten that food, you find little voice in the back of your head saying, it's like that old emotion coming back up. Okay, again, it's the body still trying to work off that old loop. And just be conscious of that and reinforce a different emotion. Literally make yourself think a different emotional thought, or even if you can maintain a neutrality, try to even remove emotional state altogether. But just be aware that the food that you have the emotional tie into is in itself going to create an emotional state in the early stages of this. So don't be too surprised by that.
You know, there's two things going on here. One is we're asking you to become more in touch with what you are feeling because most people check out when they eat. And then there's the judgment part about what you're eating. So there's two dynamics, but both of them end up, you end up in some emotional state. So I just wanted to make sure that, you knew that we're talking about two different things, but the result is both end up in an emotional state and sometimes not always in the positive. I also wanted to open the door. I don't think that we've talked about this much. Does anybody have any questions about anything about food in general and diet?
The only thing that comes up for me, maybe everybody else is the same way, that I feel like I know everything about nutrition and diet because I've dealt with it for so many years dealing with this, but it's just that whole relationship with the law of attraction thing is, you can eat whatever you want and maintain a healthy weight and healthy body, et cetera. And the thing of those beliefs that certain things are healthier, and that's what we hear all the time. So just what are really, you know, Gina and David, what are your beliefs around that? Or what, yeah.
Well, I'll speak for myself and then David can speak. I believe if you're feeling good about something, it's going to do your body good, no matter what it is. I mean, you know, I was water skiing when I was, you know, 8 months pregnant. So somebody else, and I felt okay about it. And when it was time to stop, I stopped because, you know, I just couldn't get up anymore. If somebody else went out and thought it was bad for them, they would probably end up getting hurt or, you know, something crazy would happen and they wouldn't feel good about it or not. They might, something bad might not happen, but they would end up feeling bad about it and it wouldn't feel good. So it's really however you're going to feel about the food. So that's why it's good not, you know, I don't, you know, we don't recommend that you just go out and, you know, hey, ladies, go eat whatever the heck you want. Guys, drink as many beers as you want. You know, have at it, because most people emotionally aren't ready for that. What will happen is they'll go and do that thing, and then they'll have the same results that they've been having. Whether it's, you know, some people can drink and not get drunk. Some people can drink a lot and not gain weight. But it's because they're okay with it. You know, you probably all know someone who's been smoking their whole life, and they've lived to be 100. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's mostly because those people didn't trip out with the fact that they were smoking. So it really is about, I believe, you can eat anything you want, and if you feel great about it, it's going to work for you. And if you don't, you're going to have all kinds of stuff. It could be anything from heartburn to weight gain.
So there's a difference in it making you feel good and feeling good about the food.
Yes, yeah. Because we're not talking go eat the ice cream to numb something and then feel bad. It's like it's got to feel good before, during, and after. There's no buyer remorse here. You know, it's like if you're going to go out and buy yourself a new pair of shoes, feel great about the new pair of shoes before, during, and after. You don't want to be one of those people that brings them home and thinks, I can't believe I spent that much on the shoes, but I love them. And then you go, oh, I should take them back. And you can't enjoy them now. And that's what a lot of you are doing around food. Mm-hmm. I used to do it all the time, too. So you just have to feel good about it. And I'm going to take it to the – I had this aha, by the way, the other day. It's not about food, but it's something similar. There's the big discussion, you know, when you have a baby about all sorts of things with your partner. And, you know, my partner and I definitely don't see eye to eye on most things around these sorts of choices. So you have the choices of circumcision or not circumcision, vaccines, no vaccines, all these things. Well, he's really big on vaccines. And I'm really not. And I don't want vaccines of any sort. I don't believe my baby needs them because all you're looking for is to prevent something. So if it makes you feel better, though, that's also what you have to do. And it's going to make him feel better. I mean, he thinks I'm so far out in left field. Like, what are you, nuts? You know, no vaccines? The kid could get this, this, and this. And if you go to the hospital, they will scare you into anything. I mean, they're handing us papers going, if you don't get this vaccine, your baby could get hepatitis B, then it's going to be cancer. And you're like, and he's like, oh, my God, give it to him right now. For God's sake, don't let him leave the hospital without it. So my big aha was, because, you know, at first I was pushing back, going, look, do a little research, then make your choice. We don't need to make it right now. But then I thought, you know what, if this makes him feel better, then my intention can be for my baby, and I'm still not going to just go, hey, go get them every vaccine. I'll say, here's what I'm okay with, here's what I'm not, even though I'd prefer none, is I've decided that if we get vaccines, that his body will use what it needs and get rid of the rest, and that he'll be fine. Because before I realized when I was pushing back that it was totally out of fear, I was doing the same thing as him. I was afraid if he got the vaccines that it would be bad for him and he was going to be hurt and he was going to put a needle in him and what are the effects of the vaccines. I've heard horror stories. So, and essentially, I was doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Don't give it to him because I think something bad's going to happen. And he's saying give it to him so something bad doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So my intention completely shifted. So now that his body can use whatever he wants and he probably would have anyways. I'm not making his decisions for him. So it's the same with food. So if you're going to eat it and you're going to make it, we're going back to make it right, because if you can just intend, and this is what in Patricia Bish's book around freedom from food, she talks about this. It's just really having the intention that whatever you put into your body will use what it needs and discard the rest. So that's another way that you can get through that transition period where you're not fully behind whatever you eat. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was pregnant, I was behind everything I ate. And people constantly, they'd be pouring champagne or wine, and they'd say, oh, yeah, but you're not drinking. I said, no, you can pour me a glass of wine. And sometimes I didn't drink wine. I usually would drink wine. Normally, if I'm not pregnant, I would drink wine with every single meal. Not every single meal, every single dinner. You know, maybe a glass, maybe two. So, you know, and I felt okay about it, though. You know, I've heard some mothers, you know, they have drinks before they know they're pregnant, and then they just feel so horrible, and what did I do to my baby? So it's really about being kind to yourself in the transition, and don't expect, if you can't get to that place where you just know everything's okay with your health, then it's baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about controlling what you do. It's about making it right even once you do it. Now, David, what's your belief on food and law of attraction and everything's good that you put in your body?
You know, it's funny, being a trainer and a coach and involved with nutrition, when people talk with me, they always think that that's really going to be my approach to things, that that is going to be my first go-to. In reality, and if you've, when you've been hearing Gina and I talk, it isn't so much about the diet and the exercise. It's about your thoughts and your emotions. And it's from that that drives not only how our body reacts to movement and to the foods that we eat, but it also has a lot to do with what we're attracted to. Because, again, we have tie-ins to states, to particular foods. But not only that, but I think when we talk about law of attraction, we talk about energy attracting energy. And when you are at a low energy emotional state, whether it's anger or fear or blame or whatever it is, you're going to be attracted to low energy foods and low, if any, action. You're not going to really feel, I mean, you cannot create, manifest, attract anything different than the energy and the emotional state that you're currently holding. And I always tell folks, and again, this is not necessarily an exercise that I want you to expect to be perfect in or to really make a huge struggle, but when you find yourself in an emotional state, and you find yourself opening that refrigerator or that cupboard or driving to that drive-thru or something for some solace in trying to combat that emotion, instead of sitting there and struggling about what you want to buy and what kind of food to have, start thinking about what kind of emotion you want to experience. Start raising your emotion. And again, just baby steps. Just find the next one that feels a little bit better. Just, you know, if you're really feeling sad, just try to find, you know, something, just make a statement of gratitude about something or say or feel something that feels a little bit better. And you're going to find over time that you're going to be making higher energy or different food choices and different actions that are now going to match a higher level of energy. You cannot have high energy and make low choices or low energy and make high choices. It just doesn't follow that way, at least if it does, certainly not on a consistent or easy basis whatsoever. I think wholeheartedly, I firmly believe in our ability to create different chemistries, even eating the same foods, but it goes back to our thoughts about it. How many times have anyone on the, I've heard this so many times, I can't understand, this person is eating everything under the planet, it's not gaining a pound. How can that be? Different thought, different emotional state that person is holding. And I have found even in my own experience, those times when I'm not, you know, I'm feeling a little down or a little low energy, I'm going to tend to feel like I'm going to overeat. I'm going to make what I would call my own little comfort food choices. And when I find that I am bringing myself up to a higher level of emotion, a higher level of thought, all of a sudden I'm making better choices with regards to food. I'm filling up faster. It doesn't take anywhere near as much food for me to feel full anymore. And I feel like moving. I feel like expressing that higher energy. For me, that's in the form of physical exercise. But again, that isn't necessarily a must either. I just, from my own state, follow what I feel intuitively is a match for my thoughts and my emotions. So by all means, I wholeheartedly agree. And that's one of the challenges, or that's one of the experiences that I ask people to make, is instead of fighting with yourself over what foods to have and what choices to make, and from that the blame and all the struggle that we make of it, instead find a better feeling, find a better emotion, and then see what follows. And I think you'll be surprised. And again,
you
if
could
it's...
even play with food. Sorry, David. I have a delay on my phone.
Oh, that's okay. No, and I was going to say, if this doesn't happen perfectly every time, that's okay too. This is not about perfection, okay? You know, look at this as just some play for right now and have some fun with it. I'm sorry. Now go ahead, Gina.
The other thing you can play with, because I'm going to start playing with this, I had discussed with David when we first started talking about creating this class, and we were talking about how different foods affect you. I said there were certain foods that gave me heartburn, and I couldn't decipher which one it actually was. I couldn't pinpoint it, but I actually think I've narrowed it down to garlic. Now, I love anything with garlic in it. In fact, the stronger the better. And the other food that does it for me is salmon. Now, as I was sitting here actually listening to David, I had this other little aha about these two foods that give me heartburn. I have resistance to both of them in a couple of ways. One is my boyfriend's always told me, Gina, when you eat the garlic, it comes through your pores. Gosh, you know, don't eat so much garlic. So I became more aware of the garlic I was eating because I really don't think that before this, I don't think I had a resistance to garlic or even noticed heartburn with it. And as for salmon, if my boyfriend could have me make it every day, he would. And so I kind of got sick of salmon. Like, it kind of ticked me off that I had to make salmon so much because I'm thinking, I don't want this every night. Once a month is great. So I'm going to start playing with having a different reaction to those foods because I don't need to keep having heartburn, especially with the garlic since I love it. But it's interesting, you know, these little things that you hear create the resistance, then you have something show a negative, you know, impact from eating that food. So I, too, am playing with this.
But this may be off topic or not. What is it that you said that you were having an issue with eating? Was it wheat or what was it?
Oh, wheat.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't always used to have that. And now she has a reaction to it. And wheat isn't everything, right? There's so much to do with that. And we were having a discussion about it one day and we were out to lunch. And I was talking about how whatever created that in the beginning, whatever it was, the reaction she had to it, like she misses that food in her life. So how can she, from your standpoint, I know from a law of attraction standpoint, it's really believing that you can be aligned with that food and feeling good when you're going to eat it. So what's from your standpoint, David?
As far as being able to enjoy that food again?
Yeah.
The first question I would have would be, what situation or what was the scenario that was going on in your life at the time that first became present? And upon taking some time and observing that, my next question is, are you finding yourself in that same emotional scenario? Or conversely, if not at the physical level, are you creating an attachment to that sort of an energetic level? There are some people who really just, their natural state is happiness. There's some, their just natural state is sadness or anger or bliss or fear. And it seems a lot of their emotional states derive from those areas. So I would ask first, what was an emotional state that was happening at the time? And are you emotionally addicted to needing to still experience that emotion? It could be something that goes from way back. It could be a way that attention was derived at as a child. It could be something that you were rewarded for as a child. There's a myriad of different reasons why we become attached and addicted to things. But at the end of the day, the addiction is there and generally is behind the responsibility of why we're having the reactions we are to certain foods.
almost similar to what we were talking about when I had my poison oak reaction. I thought, here I am having this completely healthy, you know, pregnancy. I have no side effects, but I keep having all kinds of other health issues. And, you know, one of the questions was, is, are you willing to allow yourself to just seriously have a great pregnancy period? And it's like, I guess not. I guess I always thought that, you know, there's always going to be some little thing I'm going to have to deal with. And that's exactly what I was attracting, these little pesky things that weren't, you know, life or death, just irritating. And so it would trigger all kinds of old stuff. I mean, poison oak that I never even saw, you know, out in the wilderness, obviously.
I think we have a natural expectation of waiting for the other shoe to drop. When things are really good, some of us kind of wait for, okay, here it comes, something's going to happen now. For some, it's a belief or struggle to even believe that good things can happen. There's a myriad of different ways, but just like you were describing, Gina, all of a sudden you were creating this, see, I knew something was going to happen.
Even though that's not my conscious thought.
Right.
It's still what I kept continually attractive. I can be free and clear of this, or for some people, I can eat anything and thrive. Mm-hmm. No matter what, I just want to enjoy food, and my body is always healthy, and my body looks great, and it's functioning properly. Mm-hmm. But we have all these other made-up stuff in the background that's dictating our outcome.
We do. I mean, one of the nice things about everyone that's on this call is, and I know this, everyone here has done a lot of work on themselves. Everyone has made a lot of progress of how they attract things in their life, you name it. But also know that some of that old wiring going around in your head is still there. It's not as strong as it was before. But there are certain situations where it's kind of feel like it takes over sometimes, or there's going to be times where, you know, it's always sort of like this small voice way in the background, and it's still there. Even though we've done so much work on ourselves, we still have these old issues. And we've kind of alluded to it in these previous calls, is just kind of embrace your totality. Be too concerned that there's still work to be done. There's still, I thought it was over that. I can't believe I'm still dealing with this. Revel in the fact that you have made so much progress. Revel in the fact that even though it's still a struggle, it still is easier than it was. Revel in the fact, be pleased with yourself, that you recognize it for what it is. Be more understanding of yourself. I think we tend to pull out of our own personal power when we start beating ourselves up. We start blaming ourselves. We start finding fault with ourselves. It kind of unfortunately reinforces these emotional addictions. So when these things come up, I think the best way I can put it is, instead of focusing on the fact that it's occurred to begin with, instead start thinking of or start remembering the progress that you have made from it.
That's really good, because especially this class in particular, they're very self-aware. Mm-hmm. They know how to focus on goals. They've done a lot of personal growth work. And people who have done the work, they have a tendency to be harder on themselves anyways, because they think that they should know better. You know, like you said, how did I get here? How come this is happening? I thought I aced this. I already dealt with this a long time ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're kind of like onions. We are continually adding new layers, but the old layers are still there, way underneath, and every so often something occurs in our life that gets down to that layer. So it's just moving away to accept, instead of losing your power in the moment and reacting to new issues with old patterns, truly embrace the power that is in this present moment. This present moment, you have an infinite number of choices. You have an infinite number of decisions. You have any way you can go. Some are going to feel easier than others, but you literally have the whole universe to choose from. And when you are truly present in this moment and listen to yourself, listen to what is really being felt and what you are really truly hearing, you have the ability to make other choices. Again, it's not necessarily going to be easy, because there are these wired and these chemical addictions that are still present from the past. It's not fair. I wish they weren't there. But, and this is critical, they're far less strong than they used to be. You always have a choice.
And you always have a choice, too. I want to mention, once you stick something in your mouth, whether it's food or a medication or something that you're doing, give an example. I was walking the other day, so not just what you're putting in your mouth, but also what you're doing. Your thinking is going to impact the way that you digest food. David's talked about it several different times, just simply by how you're feeling about it. And I know the other day I went on a hike, and it ended up being longer than I thought. It ended up being an 11-mile hike, and I was already a little bit resistant to, I thought it was going to be about a 9-mile hike, and I thought, ooh, am I really up for this? You know, I've been noticing that I'm slowing down since I'm pregnant. 6 miles, I could do that. 9, maybe. Well, I noticed by about 3/4 of the way I started dragging. The little gremlin came in that said, this isn't probably good for you. You know, you're just really overexerting. That wasn't my thought. That's from whatever else I've heard out there from other people. But I noticed that the more I was worrying that this was bad for me, the more my joints started reacting, not only my energy level, but my knees, my feet started hurting. And at some point, there were people way behind me, and the other part of my family was very much in front of me. So I was all alone, and I thought, I'm complaining in my mind and fretting in my mind on this beautiful hike. Let me shift the way that I'm feeling right now. Let me shift the focus of my thoughts to this is invigorating, this is enjoy the beauty. And I changed the whole way that I was thinking. And it was interesting how I was like the third person in. And I had my brother with me, who's probably the most physically fit out of all of us. He was way behind me. So it was interesting to notice, even after I'd already gone down the tubes with my thinking, I was able to turn it around and how my body reacted immediately in a positive way. And I was cruising at a really good clip, and I felt fine when I got back to the car. Is there any more that you want to talk about, David? Like, once someone pops something into their mouth, how their emotions can impact the way that the food is being chemically distributed through their body?
In a way, one of the things to recognize, especially with the issues that we've talked about today, is once your body feels and your mind feels that you've addressed it, it doesn't need more of it. So, for instance, I usually will recommend people, like, once you pop something in your mouth, one of the neat things I usually will recommend for people, especially if they use chocolate or candy for stress or depression, sadness, those kind of emotions, one of the things I recommend is, like, those little Hershey Kisses. I mean, just something small, something very portable. And emphasis something small. Because in reality, in all seriousness, when you are eating from an emotional standpoint, not a hunger standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, which is what we're talking about today, you don't need more than one. You simply need to register that you heard it and you addressed it. So in reality, you do not actually need a handful of Hershey's Kisses. Actually, believe it or not, one works at an emotional and a physical level. If nothing else, it removes that stress of, you know, it, kind of holding yourself back. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. Oh, all right, I'll do it. So from a standpoint of, okay, let's face it, we're going to fall off the track sometimes, all right. But it doesn't have to be in quantity. It can literally just be simply nothing more than a little piece of chocolate, a little, you know, and use it as a way of honoring yourself. Go to the store ahead of time, and, you know, as I said, create that little stress cupboard, and literally for that little stress cupboard, pick the best, most expensive, finest chocolate that you can find, and that's your little stress treat, lack of a better way of putting it. So rather than creating the stress itself of dealing with stress, now you can even start letting that go, and at least it will help loosen the bonds of the emotional addiction.
And the way you just described it about, you know, having it register, because most of the time when people are stressed and they're shoving things in their mouth or they're drinking alcohol or even how people go through their day checking things off their to-do list, right, they start getting manic about it. Mm-hmm. And they're not ever being present, so they never get the satisfaction. So if you were to sit down, let's say you had your Girl Scout cookies, you know, your Thin Mints, or whatever is your favorite kind, but you were to actually, you know, you're going to go for food and you're wanting to be grounded, is to like really be present with whatever you're doing. Eat the cookie so that, not one, it actually can serve as a trigger to ground, because you can take each bite, and, you know, and you're like, you know, and you put it in your mouth and you're really savoring it. And two, obviously, now you can really register that I'm eating this and chemically I'm getting what I need. Most of the time we're just so not present and we're just shoving stuff in our mouth, or we're cruising through our day not stopping. It's the same exact feeling.
Mm-hmm. Going back to where you started at the very beginning, Gina, with the idea of savoring what we're choosing in that moment.
Yeah. And I think that's what works so well with walking when you're stressed, especially if you can be somewhere where it's beautiful, is because it causes you to look outside of yourself and focus on beauty. And at that moment, you instantly coming back into your body mentally, you're connected, you're grounded by stopping and just savoring what's around you, rather than just staying on that old mode of operation where you're kicking in the old reflex and you're not even aware of what you're doing. You're just simply reacting all the time. Does anybody have any questions before we complete today? What are you getting out of this?
I'm getting a lot out of it, just because I'm fresh from yesterday where I was having that reaction. And now I like the idea of having a stress cupboard so that I can take that food. And I know that when I go into the stress cupboard, why I'm doing it, and it probably is going to temper it somewhat, and just take a bite of something that's really, really good and then be done. I'm going to try that for sure.
Excellent. Any questions about anything up until this point?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about being in the present moment. Isn't that funny? Just thinking, what's going to be the reminder?
I love, too, David, what you were saying about when you're in that moment of stress and then you're going to go do the reaching for that thing, whether it's food or you're going back to the same behavior that you always do about rushing through your day. And you have that moment where you recognize that you're doing it, and then you get in a fight with yourself. Do it. Don't do it. Slow down. I can't. As you're doing all that, it's like, hold on. Let me just make a choice here. Rather than having this crazy conversation in my head that actually just perpetuates the feeling, stop and do something. Have the darn chocolate. Or, you know what, if you're going to, and I say this with to-dos because this is what a lot of times drives people's health down the tubes, is that pushing feeling in life, you know, always having to push forward, do more, get things done, is if you consciously make the choice that today I'm going to be going 100 miles an hour, but I'm going to choose that rather than reacting to my life out of some dysfunction, it's a different story when you be deliberate. I am going to eat the chocolate right now, and I'm going to savor it. Now you're halfway out of the game, because now you're actually deliberately choosing it rather than defaulting into that old mode of operation. I think at this point now you've actually progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you do that thing that you don't want to do or you wish you wouldn't do, if you're doing it deliberately, it takes half of the resistance out. Rather than beating yourself up the whole time and saying, I know I should be stopping, I know I should be breathing, I know I should be present, but I don't have time, I'm not gonna. And now we're in a fight with ourselves, and you've now doubled the level of stress because you already had the stress and now you're beating yourself up. No win situation.
Right, and wonderfully said, that's exactly what it comes down to. Make a choice. As long as you're making it from your point of decision, it's fine.
Make a choice and make it right. Whatever you're choosing, make it right. Last thing you want to do is make a choice and make yourself wrong. That's not very nice. That's not a very good friend to yourself. All right, David, is there anything else that we want to say in closing today?
No, I think we have a little bit of something we'd like everyone, though, to do before we talk next week, though, about a journal.
Yes. So I don't know if you've all been doing it or not, but I'm going to remind you to continue doing your body appreciation journal. And we don't have to do this in the journal. You can do in the shower about body appreciation, attaching something that you do all the time to body appreciation. So if you're in the shower and you're washing your body, that's a great time to remember to be in gratitude about, oh, wow, so grateful for these arms that move and so grateful that my body's functioning. And I'm going to request that you do something this week that serves your body, an action step. It could be something that you want to, you know, include in your life that you haven't, or throw something out, or something that you want to do to pamper yourself. But do something that actually serves your body. Sometimes it may be about stop doing something that you've been doing, like beating yourself up. That might be a great action step. Like full permission to enjoy everything. Bye-bye, everybody.